Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Fuchina Kirkendall and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you tonight. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. I want to thank you for the continuous support on the show. I want to thank you for everyone just pitching in where they can and with thoughts and prayers and input. I want to thank you so much. Today is going to be an awesome experience. You all know that I have been doing March Men Mayhem. And in this month, it has been a phenomenal month, to say the least. And tonight's not going to be any different. We started off with Why Men Cheat by Mr. Thomas Wade. And then the second show was Free to Be Me by Mr. Ron Pringle. And tonight will be no different. It only gets better and better. And tonight I have a special guest. His name is Mr. Brent Moore Gaskins. And I am so I'm so excited. I don't know what to do, you all. But when I was putting the show together and reaching with my people that helped me with it, a song came to mind that has gotten me through so many dark days. And it's just so appropriate for this time, I felt. And it's a song by Reverend Paul Jones when he says, I've had some good days, I've had some hills to climb, I've had some weary days and some sleepless nights. And when I look around and I think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days, but I won't complain. And it just resonated within me tonight. And I thought it was so appropriate for this gentleman that's coming on, this man of God who is coming on. He is just a awesome person. We have not personally met, but I call him a brother in Christ because of all he has gone through. And I had the opportunity and the privilege of seeing some other testimonies he has shared. And it's an awesome pleasure. And I want to present to some and introduce to others Mr. Brent Moore Gaskins. How are you tonight?
I am doing awesome. How are you doing, Queen?
I am phenomenal, my king. I could not get that song out of my head when I was putting it together, sending it to my person who edits my show. I love that song. It's got me through some dark days in my life. And when I think about your title, Homeless to Hollywood. So I want to start the show off by saying this. What's your name?
My name is Brent.
It's okay. I'll finish it. Your name is Brent. Okay, so what's your name? Do you do? And why do you love what you do?
Okay. All right. My apologies. Okay.
That's okay. We all family.
My name is Brent Moore Gaskins. I am, to give it one word, I am an entertainment business person. And I say entertainment because I do a lot of things. I act, I direct, I produce. I have my BMI for music. I have the entertainment company, Amethyst on Fire Entertainment, LLC. I have three TV channels. The primary channel is called Amethyst on Fire TV on the XOD network, so I'm a TV channel owner. We have up to 2 billion distributed in over 200 countries with that channel, and I can monetize film, music, magazines, podcasts, books, and That's what I do, and I have a BMI for music, so I'm currently making music now, actually, with a few artists.
Phenomenal! That's a lot going on at one time. Awesome. But I want to get into, let's just dig into it, you know, the journey. I see the diamond that's presented now, but before a diamond becomes a diamond, it goes through the pressures.
Correct.
So I would like for you to, if you don't mind, talk to us about your road from homeless to Hollywood.
Absolutely. I was in a situation to where I had an experience, and in that experience, it changed everything for me. And when I say experience, I'm relating to some people call it a dream, others call it a vision. For me, it was an epiphany. I saw myself being propelled from Earth out into space, and when I broke through, I guess what would be considered the stratosphere for Earth, that in line between Earth, oxygen, and space, I felt like I broke through something. And when I broke through that, I could see everything. And a lot of things I had questions about became clear. And who I was as a person, as a human being, had changed. Like, I was a brand new person. Like I was born again. And on that journey, when that happened, the relationship I was in at the time ended. And that's when the homelessness began. Now, I'll say this, and I have to say this. Prior to the homelessness happening, because of what I experienced during this moment of epiphany, during this dream, this vision, I knew I was going to be homeless. But I also saw what was on the other side if I stayed with it. And this is what it is now. And with that being said, to me, it was worth the journey of homelessness because it allowed me to become the person that I needed to be, and I needed to change. I was always a good person, and I was always a smart person, but I wasn't always the best person. I lied.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a good father, and that doesn't mean I was bad to my kids as far as when I was in their presence, but I wasn't there like I should have been. So I looked at who I was and all of the mistakes that I made, and I took the journey of reaching out to ex-wives, to having a personal conversation with my children. There's still some things that need to be cleared up, but not in a bad way, but some things that I still want to, as the man who I am now, to come back and address. You know, you can't make the clock start over. You can only start from where you're at. So one thing I learned is that when you ask a person to forgive you, it doesn't matter whether they forgive you or not. Because the point is, you have to be in the position to ask for their forgiveness. So I went back and asked for forgiveness from my ex-wives, from my children, from people that I hurt, people that I wronged. And that kept changing me. That kept making me a better person. So now in my life, I'm the type of person that, because of the homelessness, number one, I do appreciate everything. Number two, I really understand what money is, but I more importantly understand not. Number three, it allowed me to see the separation between the people who say they love me and the people who show me that they love me.
Mm-hmm. It does make a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that separation was necessary. So my journey, I actually went on social media and told everybody that I was homeless. And
wow.
I immediately had people get in my inbox and was like, man, you shouldn't be saying that. you know, family and friends. I don't have to call no names, but you shouldn't be saying that. And I discovered they didn't want me to say it, not because it wasn't true, but because of their relationship and what they were not doing.
So that's usually the case.
When I made it public on social media that I was homeless, started seeing the sifting from, you know, between the sheep and the goats, the separation. Total strangers poured more into my life than people that I know all of my life.
Isn't that something?
But now don't get me wrong. There are some people that I know that I've been knowing my whole life who have always been blessing me. You know, we have this thing. There's a guy that's on Instagram. I think his name is Glow J, and he's the guy that young dude. I think he's out of Atlanta, but he goes around, like he'll go on Walmart and say, "Hey, I left my wallet and I got to get these Pampers for my baby. Can you help me?" And I listen to the responses from white, black men, young girls, young teenagers, grown men of different races. But here's what I saw that was almost a consistent pattern. Him as a man, when he approached other men and asked them to buy the diapers because he needed it for his son because he left his wallet at home, most of the black men that he approached told him, "Man, get the H out of my face. You're a grown man." So that showed me, when I seen several black men do that, I was like, so we have put in our head that, you know, after 18 years of, well, 12 years of going to school, 6 years of being a child, not knowing nothing, and 12 years of going to school in this educational system, we have created a culture that says, number one, a black man can't be down, and if he is down, he's a sorry person or he's a bad person. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Exactly. Stereotype.
And we are happy with our good job, our cars being paid for, our home being paid for, and we can eat and travel, put some money in church, and we're good. And through the homelessness, I've seen a lot of other things about humanity that I needed to see, that aligned with my heart, with who I was as a human being. And
that was,
you know, I'm 55 years old, and, you know, unless God, the universe, and the ancestors, and life, and something miraculous happens, in the next 100 years, everybody who's listening to this show right now most likely may be dead, okay? I'm not wishing death on anyone. We've all seen that everybody has to do. So within the next 100 years, everybody who's on this, listening to this blog talk radio show right now, will be dead. In a way, that's kind of sad. But when I think about my mortality, that's what keeps me going. Because now the purpose is the thing that I could do without a paycheck. But again, in this world, you gotta make some money, okay? I'm not being unrealistic, trust me. You know, but this is what I love. I love it. You can say I'm addicted to it. I don't care. It doesn't matter what you say. What matters is I know I love it. I know that I'm good at it, and I'm getting better every day. I don't know it all, but I know a lot because I take the time to learn my craft, my business, my industries that I am a business person in. So the hardest thing for me, the hardest lesson for me to have learned going through the homelessness is I have a good heart and I love people. You know, I love to see people change and flower and grow and caterpillar to butterfly and all that other good stuff. And I try very hard to offer opportunities when I have them to help people grow. you know?
Mm.
But when a person does you wrong and you can see them for who they are, because we all have discernment. We just don't all use it.
Mm-hmm.
We all have discernment. But we all don't, we don't use it. You know? When a woman says, I allowed that man to beat on me because I love him, it's not that she didn't know that he was a woman beater, because after the first hit, she found that out.
Right.
So you knew the difference between what is a good relationship and what is not. Anybody who thinks another person beating on them, that's okay in a relationship, I don't have any male friends that I know of that beat on women. And if I find out that they do, we are no longer friends. It's just that simple. And that's not a bad thing or an evil thing. I just can't align myself with certain spirits that are doing certain things, because I know what I went through when I was homeless. I went through maybe I should kill myself. I went through I'm not going to try to approach a woman even though I desire to be in a relationship, because I don't have nothing to offer her. Because, again, a lot of this society, and that's not every human being, but a lot of this society points toward, if you are a man in this world, and if this man before you was able to accomplish these things, then that's exactly where your life should be right now. And again, we have another assumption that says, because you're older, you should be set up and settled. Well, nobody knows what your life path was before you reached the age of 50 years old. They don't know what you've been through. They don't know if you got locked up for child support, and while you was in jail, you got hurt or injured, and you came out of jail all messed up and couldn't work a regular job, and you didn't have the education or wherewithal to ask the right people or tap into the right channels to find out how to get disability and things of that nature. There's a lot of things that we don't know individually, but if you look at us as a whole, we know it and we don't share it. So the homelessness showed me a lot of things, but most of all, you know, I've since I know where the bottom is and what it feels like, I'm no longer afraid of the bottom. So my focus isn't on failing. My focus is on succeeding. I know what the bottom looks like. No longer looking at the bottom.
Got you. You said quite a bit of things. So I wanted to kind of tap on a couple things you said. Going back to, you know, before you were homeless, you had a situation prior to that, and then you and now you ended up in your homelessness. But let me ask you a question: what led you to the failed relationships? What led you to the failed relationship with your significant other, with your children? What led to that? Was there a root?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That.
Yeah, I was the root. I was the same person on the same stage with different co-stars, and I failed each and every one of them. And that's why, as a man, I went back to them and apologized.
Where do you feel you failed at? I guess I'm trying to get to that root. Like, for instance, I'm a survivor of sexual childhood abuse. The way I handle relationships in the past all stemmed from that. You know, that was my root. I didn't understand boundaries.
Right.
And so I'm trying to get to where the root started.
Okay, yeah, sure. I'll take you to the roof. I'm the youngest of nine in my family, on my mother's side. On my father's side, the youngest of five. So I was the youngest on both sides. The little bit that I learned about my father before he left when I was about 4 years old, and found him again when I was 23 going into the military, and what I learned from my mother's relationship, because, you know, I have siblings where four of them have the same father, and then two got another father, and then one got a father here, and one got a, you know what I'm saying? So,
right.
I mimicked what I saw. And because they made it okay, it became okay for me. So now when you talk about as far as my choices in relationship as a young man, you know, some of us feel like we don't know it and we stay close to home, and some of us feel like we know it all and we're gone. And that was me. I was gone. I was not going to sit up under mama. So I stepped out there into the world and found my way and bumped my head on plenty of brick walls. And every relationship that I got into, you know, I'm not saying I was the only person in a relationship that fell short, mm-hmm. because I was not in any mm-hmm. one of the marriages, okay? So they did their part, but I did my part. So part of, again, the root problem was after the first failed relationship, there was no cleaning done whatsoever. So all of the trash and dirty laundry from the first one came into the second one. But before it even became the second one, after the first one ended, there was no change in me. So I went back to making the same choices, finding the same relationships, bringing more trash and piling more trash and moving from one situation to another. And that resulted in, you know, three marriages that did not work. I won't say failed because there were some great things that came from them. There are things now that I look back and see and say, hey, you know, I learned something from that. So, yeah, that you know, I mimicked what I saw, and what I saw was made to be okay, so it was okay for me as an adult when I did the exact same thing. And because and because my parents didn't straighten up and they were the same person, and that's why they went from relationship to relationship, that became my pattern.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a generational curse.
Yeah, it's like a generational curse.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, again, we do not share. We don't talk. We don't open up. We kick our kids out at 18 to go to college or be grown and on their own in a world under a law, under a constitution, under a system that does not work for us. And I don't understand mm-hmm. why that is. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of cultural things in us that we have stepped away from because we have been westernized to everything that's here now. You and I are speaking mm-hmm. what's called the English. What language from the motherland, you know, we call it Africa, and that's after the Greek general that defeated Hannibal. And so the name of Africa to me is not as rooted as what it was before that. But, again, that's a whole other conversation. But to my mm-hmm. point, we have accepted their ways in a system that's designed to fail us. So mm-hmm. we're now mimicking a whole nother culture, because now, you know, we got social media and people can do things and go viral anywhere. We still have black men killing black men. We still have black men beating on black women. We got black women now beating on black men. We got young girls now. Shoot, they just had a shooting the other day in Charlotte. No Limit Larry was on, and he was, you know, I'm mad, hit that segment, about two kids that got shot, and one died, 13 years old and 14 years old. So, again, there are things that we have allowed in our culture that have been injected into our culture, and we have embraced it. And it has been designed to tear us apart, starting with the family. First thing, displacement of the men. So, you know, we are not doing the best that we can do by ourselves as a race of people. And that's the thing that I saw in humanity when I was homeless. Mm. And I'm not talking about watching. I'm talking about dealing with hundreds of people on a daily basis. Because depending on where you got your food from, depending on where you slept at, until you found somebody to take you in, and I had friends to take me in. And some of those situations went sideways because, you know, I may have had a female friend that took me in. They got a boyfriend, but the boyfriend is jealous of the relationship that me and his lady friend has, and he thinks something going on. So now I'm kicked out of that house. Now I got to go find another house. Yeah, the whole, when I look at from being born to right now, there are so, we are very strong because there are a lot of things that are a constant challenge for us. Growing up in the projects, to me, that's pre-cage, pre-jail. To me. If you take a woman who has children and her and that man has gone their separate ways, if she is not financially stable, now she's dependent on the government. The government says, yes, I'll take care of you and those kids, but the man can't come.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're breaking up families. Now you put this woman on a financial where if she has more kids, she can get more money back on her taxes. If she has more kids, she can get more food stamps. And some people have decided that, guess what? That's a system I'm going to work. Oh, I'm going to get the government back by having all these kids and sitting back and drawing a big check. I ain't going to do nothing. You're not getting the government back. You're putting children into this world who are already at a disadvantage just because of the color of their skin, and now we have put them in a financial situation, which means health care could suffer, which means dietary could suffer, which means medical care could suffer, all in that one environment. Homelessness showed me a lot. But yeah, I was the problem. Homelessness taught me a lot of things. So that epiphany that I had, that was my change. Am I perfect? No, I am not. But I am very firm and I'm very clear with what I say. If I was to meet a woman and she says, "Are you single?" "Oh, yeah, I'm single." "Are you single?" "Yeah, I'm single." "Okay, who are you?" "Here's who I am. Here it is all on the table. Do you want to be with me or not? I have nothing to hide." People who have things to hide, they're not living their best life. I'm living my best life because I have no shame. It's not embarrassing for me that I was homeless. It's not embarrassing for me that I couldn't feed myself. That's not embarrassing for me. I learned from all of that. So, again, that's the strength of choice. Some people will be embarrassed by it.
Mm-hmm.
But we parlay around each other with these things. You know, on social media, you see the guys with the jets. You know, you see the guys with the nice cars, plenty of money, big houses. Big old pool, look like a lake sitting in their front yard, giraffes running around in the backyard, and we all think that that's the goal that we're trying to get to.
Some of them don't have that.
But that's just it. If you got it, my thing is, who are you helping? I don't mind if you got all that stuff. That's good if you got it. I'm glad that one of us got it. But now what are you doing with it to really help someone else? Before you die and leave this earth, what are you doing to impact and change a whole other human being's life? That's my question.
Exactly. You know, this is deep. This is truly deep because I can relate to you on so many things. You had your root. It led to, you know, the homelessness, and then in your homelessness, you found, really, you had like a reality check. You had a reality check of life. You had a reality check of who was grounded and for you and those who were not, because, you know, you can't be walking like a dog and talking like a cat. You're either in or you're not in. You either for me or you're not for me. A lot of truth in your transition. So let's talk about as you're going into coming out of homelessness. Let's talk about that.
Okay, yeah, awesome. I was in a situation where I had to have a certain amount of money by the end of the month. I got booked for two projects in Knoxville, Tennessee. Each of those projects was 2 days apiece. They ran consecutively from Monday through Thursday. They would have paid $150 each, and that was the $600 that I needed.
Okay, so let me interrupt real quick. So did you get a gig while you were in your homelessness, or?
Yes, I worked the whole time
okay.
I was homeless. Yeah, I never stopped acting. I never stopped acting.
Got you.
I never stopped.
Gotcha.
I swept in front of a guy's TV store every day. And one day, he figured out that it was me that was sweeping in front of his store. He couldn't figure out why I was cleaning around his store every day. And I asked him to take his leave one channel on for me because I knew it was going to be on a TV series called Six. It was made by the Weinstein brothers. It did well at first, but then, you know, the couch thing came out, and, you know, Me Too, and that killed all of my royalties on that movie. But you know, I was, you know, lined up to do these gigs. You know, two different TV series. One was Fatal Attraction. And the other one was a new series. I forget the name of it, but it was a new series that was coming out. Both being filmed in Knoxville, 4 days, $150 each, hotel taken care of for the 4 days. All I had to do was get up there and get back, and I would have been straight. Brought my, you know, had friends to send me money to catch a Greyhound bus with, and lo and behold, I'm at the bus station. And I get the COVID message, and that killed those 4 days of filming. So I went back, you know, with the people I went and said, hey, you know, I told y'all to either have the money or I would leave. And since I don't have it, I'm going to leave. So my last day here, I'll make my way out. But when I get straight, I'm going to come back and I'm going to take care of you. What you ask for me, I'm going to give that back to you. Made a list, put names down. The first name I called on the list, the lady answered the phone, and, you know, she was like, you know, what do you need? And we had a conversation, and I said, basically, I need $600. She said, well, once I give you the $600, what comes the next 30 days and the next 30 days and the next 30 days? I said, I don't know. I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. She said, no, I was told to help you, and I'm going to help you. And she did. And that lady kept her word, and every move that I needed to make, she helped me make it. Every move I needed to make, she helped me make it. And her name is now still on projects. We have a movie that's coming out this summer called Jack Be Nimble, and she's invested in that project as well as you know, an associate producer because of the contract that we put together.
Okay, so let me go ahead, please.
No, I was going to say, so it was her, and then, you know, other people started coming along. They started seeing the progression. A lot of different people started coming. Some people I knew definitely not to deal with. Some people I dealt with twice. That was a mistake, but it wasn't a loss. It was a lesson because I learned from it. So
there you go.
Yeah, that's how I count my L's. I don't count losses.
I just said that today. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's what you speak into your life. You can get caught up in all
mm-hmm.
that. You know, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. That's a saying, but it ain't a script. Get attacked by an evil spirit. Say that phrase and see if that moves that spirit from in front of you.
Mm.
So there's a difference between what is cliche and what has power in it because of what it is word for word.
Mhm.
Yeah. So
the power of life and death is in the tongue. There's no doubt about that. And just to get people off that, for those who are just tuning in, my name is Puchina Kirkendall, and you're tuning in to another episode of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. I am being blessed by the special guest, Mr. Brent Moore Gaskins. Our topic today is Homeless to Hollywood. And if you know of anyone that could benefit from this tonight, please, 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 please share the story. You're listening, you're tuning into Blog Talk Radio and also by way of Facebook Live. So those who are coming in and those who are still rolling with us, we're starting from when Brent started off, you know, in a situation coming from the root of, you know, what he saw as a child. He brought it on over as an adult, made some choices that, so, you know, that led to, you know, family relationships being broken and relationships and marriages being broken. And then as we are coming in now, transitioning to, you know, the fact that he was homeless during that because of some of those choices, you know, coming out of the homelessness and while in the homelessness, he's been an actor for a long time, but it didn't stop his power. It didn't stop his passion. And he was still getting gigs, even though he was in that state of homelessness. And that's where we are now, getting caught up to what's going on. So as we move forward, regardless of what your situation is, you may start one way, but you will finish a totally different way. And now we're on the part where Brent is talking about, you know, he got that breakthrough. He got that person that invested in him and still invests in him to get him to where he was and now where he's headed going moving forward. I see you. Where he's headed moving forward. And that's where we are now. So I'm just, all I can say is grateful for grace. We're grateful for grace. At least that's how I look at it. I am grateful for grace. And I see it when I hear you speak. And so you had that breakthrough. You had that person that, you know, that came through, you know, and now where are you now?
Okay. And where I'm at now is, all right, let me break this down. So with the TV channel Amethyst on Fire on the XOD network, we are constantly adding content to the channel. There is a short on there, a feature. There's another feature film from a director out of Nigeria called The Witches. There's an actor named Kwashim Herring. He has two projects on the channel called Woe and Holla. Then we have Mo McCoy bringing a project called Bad Boxer, which includes three of the Mayweathers from the Mayweather boxing family. We have Dr. Graham, who has three projects. Now, he is, oh, man, I got a matter of fact, I'm going to put you two guys together because he aligns with the exact same thing that your platform speaks on, where you really dig into people and have that real down-to-earth rooted conversation to where you're educating people not just from the regular stuff but allowing people to give it a starting point for where the problem was and let's take you forward to where you're at. You guys would be great together. So right now, just adding a lot of content to the channel. All right, so that's the TV channel.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but how did it come into be? How did your, you know, your channels come into be? How was that introduced?
Oh, okay.
You having those opportunities. I mean, because you're acting now, that we definitely know. But now you're producing, you know, you have shows. How did that come to be?
Okay. Well, when I started with the acting, when I wasn't getting booked, I started looking at what other people were doing in other parts of the movie set. Okay, this person is a PA, which is a production assistant. They deal with the background, or they may run errands, go get something from the store, or whatever the case may be. But a production assistant, someone who helps assist the movie being made, and they handle just, you know, task after task after task. They're running around all day. And then I saw where, you know, you had the guys who set up the frames for the lighting and all of that, and the guys pulling cable, plugging up different stuff, and drivers and transport. I said, you know something? I said, if I'm not going to be booked as much as I thought I was, let me start finding some other things to do. So then I started, when I did act, I would go on a movie set, and I would befriend a person who was a production assistant. We'd end up, you know, knowing each other by first name basis. Then they would tell me what they do. They would let me see what they do, and I would ask them, okay, well, why did you do this? Well, because of this. So I started learning from different people on the movie sets what they did,
And then it got to the point where with the lady that I had that was investing in different things, I started coming across opportunities, film projects that needed money. So some of the projects, I would go and look, help them look for the money for the project. And then other projects, it was an investment, maybe a $500 here or $1,000 here or $5,000 here or maybe $10,000. So if you look at what's called my IMDb credits, Internet Movie Database credit, under Brent Moore Gaskins, you're going to see 7 production credits. That's not all of them. But right now it's 7 film production credits. So I'm either an associate producer, I'm a co-producer, I'm an executive producer, or either I am the producer. So through Amethyst on Fire Entertainment LLC, we now have projects under our belt, producer credit for, and it's growing. We just filmed this weekend a project called My Mother's Prayer. That's by Tamika Green with I Am Chosen Entertainment. And got a great cast. They were doing this as a play, and now we're filming it. Tamika Green is a classmate of mine from W.J. Keenan High School back in Columbia, South Carolina. But she's like 5 or 6 years behind me, but we're both what we call Raiders. And she saw me doing the acting, and she hit me up one day and said, hey, I got this play I was doing, but I want to turn into the film. Do you guys film? I said, yes, we film. Of course we do. So we got together, and we got with A1 Day One Productions. My co-producer, I am Ebony Joy. She's actually a radio host, Art Radio. So I have a good, solid team of different people in different positions. I have a person that does music production for the channel. Her name is Mona Lisa Music. I have Mr. Servon. He hasn't been active in what we are going to use him for, but he's also attached to my entertainment company. Mr. Servon is from No Limit. No Limit. So he's a them. Yeah. And I do have some music of his that we haven't gotten out yet, but we're gonna put it out. But yeah, so that's with the entertainment side with the film production. So I forgot the different things. And then I know that I'm gonna make music, and I already deal with a lot of independent artists now. So I do have my BMI. To make music, where I can actually go out and make a song and get paid royalties and all that other good stuff. So we got the 3 TV channels, Amethyst on Fire TV on the XOD network. We have Amethyst on Fire HHN, which stands for the Hip Hop Network TV. And then we have Amethyst on Fire XERB TV, X-E-R-B TV. So I actually have 3 channels, but I push the Amethyst on
That's
Fire the hardest. Yeah, I picked that one the hardest.
Why
because
it the hardest?
Well, it has the biggest platform. It has 12 combined digital platforms, Netflix, Prime, Deezer, Podcast, Google, Sony Orchard, and a few other platforms. And XOD has a partnership with these platforms for distribution, and that's what gives us that size of 2 billion in viewership worldwide. So I can take a person's short film, I can take their film, I can take their music and put it on the channel, but then all we have to do now is market to the people and drive them to the channel. I do have viral relationships that exist on Facebook as well as Instagram, where we can drive numbers to a person's project just by giving it to a certain person and they speak it out of their mouth because they have a blue dot and over 500,000 followers. So I can build any project. I can push an audience to any project. But again, there's a lot of people who don't want to spend money.
Well, you know
they
what?
Don't
we
want
run
to spend,
into
they
that.
Want, they want people to give them money. They want people to give them money, and they want to be a millionaire, and they want to be successful, but they don't want to spend any money.
You know what, Brent? I want to thank you because you are sharing some serious knowledge, serious wisdom, and there's so much I want to ask you. But we actually have people calling in on Blog Talk that have some questions. So I want to bring in the first one that I saw. I want to thank you for tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. This is Sakina Kirkendall, and you're live on the air. How may I help you?
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. Salute to Brother Brent. I love what you're saying. I have one very important question. What kind of situation are you dealing with everybody getting out of the corona situation and going back to life? How are you helping the people work their regular day-to-day operations into the pandemic?
Well, when it comes to what I do for film and music entertainment, one thing I purposely did when I saw the pandemic hit, a lot of people psychologically, mentally, physically, and everything else, they shut down. Why? Because that's what the sheep were told to do. The government said, sit still, don't do nothing. We're going to do some stuff behind the scenes while everybody's locked up at home. We're going to go ahead and put up this 5G towers and let y'all focus on the virus. You know what I mean? So a lot of things happened when everybody was pushed inside the house. Well, my world doesn't exist inside or outside of a building. It exists inside my head. So what I did by design was almost every single thing that I touch that I have as a business, I can do it digitally to include filming if I want to. Now, I was a part of a movie called Social Distance where we did that whole movie by Zoom. It's got the guy in it that plays Luke Cage, the big black dude. What's his name? You know what I'm talking about, right?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I can't call him by name, but I know.
Michael Coulter. We did the entire movie. The entire movie, Social Distance, was done by Zoom, period. Every single part of it was done by Zoom. So in this digital arena we live in now, I saw when everybody went inside the house because of the pandemic, I sat down. And I was like, everybody's afraid to go out. So what can I create digitally where I can get into everybody's house, everybody's cell phone, everybody's tablet? And that's when I pursued the TV. That's when I pursued the BMI for music. That's when I started the
Digital
on Fire Entertainment LLC. Because, again, all of these things can be done digitally. All of them. And so when big Hollywood shut down because of all the guidelines and rules they got to follow, you still had hungry people who were independents who were still out here filming because they didn't have to follow the same protocol as everybody else. That doesn't mean that they weren't safe, but they still worked. The independents still made films during the pandemic, and a lot of them.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your question, King. Yes, most definitely. And we're going to go to the next one. Thank you for tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. You are on live. What's your question? Okay, we'll go to the next one. So, thank you for tuning into Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. It is a privilege and a pleasure to have you. And what's your question this evening? I guess they're kind of quiet, Mr. Brent. I'm not sure. Okay, let's move forward. So I want to go back to this gentleman that was on here earlier. So I definitely appreciate him coming on. Because that was a very good question that he put it out there. I have him back on the line with us now, and I wanted to ask him, did he have any other questions before I move forward? Okay, so I guess he's good. All right, well, this is great when we got people tuning in. So with that being said, go ahead, what was you going to say?
Okay. I was just excited. I was laughing.
Oh, that's okay. I think this is awesome. We have quite a few people that actually have their hands raised up on the radio side. So I'm very grateful for it. Like I mentioned before, my name is Puchina Kirkendall, and you're tuning in into Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. This is Men March Mayhem Month. The show is dedicated to nothing but men. And tonight is it is getting better and better. And I have the special pleasure of having Mr. Brent Moore Gaskin. His story is Homeless to Hollywood, and he was just taking us through his journey from when the roots started until what it led to, the consequences or situations that it led to, and then now coming into Hollywood. And you know, it's interesting, during his transition from homeless to Hollywood, he was still going through what he was going through, but it didn't stop. It did not stop. So my question I have as we are dwindling down, what pushed you to keep going anyway, regardless of your circumstances?
What pushed me to keep going was there was a resolve inside of me to where, again, it's like, you know how they say, like, you ever seen any older cartoons where they had the donkey pulling the cart and they had the long mm-hmm. fishing pole with the carrot hanging in front of it?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he showed me what the end was going to be before I even went into the homelessness. And he showed me the end. It has nothing to do with glitter, gold, money, and none of that stuff. All that stuff is byproducts of people loving you and loving what you give to them, whether it's a song, a dance, no matter how you entertain that person. That's why the word says your gifts and your talents will make room for you. You don't have
exactly.
to go out here and shoot nobody. You ain't got to rob nobody. You ain't got to cut nobody. You ain't got to beat on nobody door. You ain't got to do none of that stuff. If every one of us get back to who we are really supposed to be, and when I say who we're really supposed to be, again, we were stripped of our original tongue. We were stripped of our beliefs. You know, it was voodoo and it was witchcraft. We were stripped of mm-hmm. Of a whole bunch of things that were native to us. And then we get here, and they put it in front of us, and we accept it. And it's like, hey, yeah, that's right. But I can't. My mind can't cross. But my mind won't allow me to cross between what I see and what I know, and what I read.
Mm-hmm.
And day mm-hmm. from day to 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 day goes by, and country has not changed at all. There's still
mm-hmm.
slavery.
Mm-hmm.
There is still heavy, acceptable racism.
Mm-hmm.
There is still a system that says it's okay to kill someone who is unarmed, and you have been trained to fight. You got stun guns. You got bean bags. You trained to take people down with your nightstick. All this good stuff, and so there are things that are still here, and it's like everybody's still living, they're just still living their best life. It's like, where are our leaders who understand politics like nobody's business, and why aren't they addressing the Constitution that was never written for us? Here it is,
exactly.
The year 2022.
And what I'm saying, I'm going to interrupt you for a second, Mr. Brent, because of time. I get exactly what you're saying. So what that tells me is we're going to have another show on a totally different conversation, especially what you're talking about now. But before we go, I would like to know, what nuggets of wisdom would you give someone who is going through maybe going through homelessness, you know, has the aspiration of being an actor or has the aspiration of just moving forward? What nuggets of wisdom can you provide for someone who's going through?
Okay. The first thing I would say is there's a saying
And I quoted this to someone earlier and told them who the author was, the person who actually, Winston Churchill. There we go. And the quote was, never, never, never give up. And that stuck with never, never, never give up. And that became louder than the people who I thought, hoped, believed would help me, and they didn't. When I was locked up for 92 days in jail in Alvin S. Glenn Detention Center for child support that I would have never been able to afford to pay because the $200 a week they put me at, I lost that job. I didn't lose the job, but it was a contract job. It ended 45 days later. But I didn't know the law. I didn't know that the only thing that would change what goes on in that courtroom is a modification in that courtroom. So $200 a week built up to $10,000 a year. And then $10,000 a year, after doing court fees and everything else, got up to close to $60,000. And guess
so
what?
So you indicated the system, to them. Oh, no, I get what you're saying. Trust me, I want to talk to you outside of that, from that subject there. So you're definitely reminding people is never to give up.
Never give up. Never give up is what I would tell people. No matter what situation you're in, homeless or you got a roof over your head, there are people who have the best life, but they inside of their head, they're lost, they're confused, they're sitting there, they have no purpose, they have no drive, they have nothing that wakes them up in the morning and says, hey, I got to do this because if I do this, number one, it's going to make me feel good. Number two, it's going to make a whole bunch of other people feel good, and I'm going to accomplish something that's going to make my life better. Number one, never give up. Number two, no matter what you're aspiring to be, if you don't love it, don't pursue it. And that includes a woman. If you don't love it, don't pursue it. There's a lot of people who are successful in the wrong industry because of money. And their love of money doesn't outweigh the pain of them being somewhere where they should not be. And their spirits are battling and eating their body from the ends. That's why they're getting sick. You make $250,000 a year, but you're sick. You can't even enjoy your money because guess what? You ain't even supposed to be there. But you're chasing the money. You're not chasing your purpose. So never give up. Love what you do, which in translation means follow your purpose. And if you are not helping another human being, a lot of people think that you got to give somebody, you know, $1,000 in order to just say that you blessed them, or $100, say that you blessed them.
Exactly.
You can give a person $5. Gas is almost $5 a gallon now. You can give a person $5. Take them to the person that's going to let them borrow $100. But you can't sit there and say, I had people tell me when I was homeless, I was going to send you something, but I didn't think $11 was a lot of money. Bro, with $11, I can eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and take a shower at the truck stop. Stop playing with me. You understand what I'm saying?
So we got never give up find your purpose. And what was the third? The third one? Because we're down to 60 seconds.
Always bless somebody else. When it comes to planting and harvesting, there is no season. The season is when you do it.
Exactly.
You don't just get blessings January, February, and March, and then the rest of the year you don't get no blessings. Stop making seed planting and blessings in the spiritual world something that only happens in certain months out of the year. That can happen every day. If you want harvest every day, plant a seed every day. It's just that simple.
Awesome. And do you have a final one? Or that was it?
That was it. And
awesome.
Learn to love.
Awesome. And what was the last one? Love. That's important.
Love.
If love ain't in it, I don't
want to touch it. I don't want to be bothered with it. I don't care what it looks like. If love's not in it, I don't want it.
I love that. I want to thank you, Brent, for coming on tonight. You have definitely dropped some jewels out here. And I also want to thank those who have who actually chimed in on the show via Blog Talk. That episode has already ended, but we're on live, and that's what I love. So if people want to reach out to you, how would they do that?
Facebook, Instagram, they can email me at Brent Mora Gaskins. That's BRENTMOORER Gaskins. I have an Amethyst on Fire page. Amethyst on Fire Entertainment LLC page on Facebook. I have an Amethyst on Fire TV page on Instagram. And so my name is where you can find me. You can Google me, and that'll get you to me.
Okay, so they can Google you. But the email address is Brent Mora Gaskins?
Gaskins@gmail.com.
Okay, so definitely y'all will find it in the feed in just a second. I'm actually planning to put it on there now. And you mentioned that you're on Instagram and Facebook. As I know on Facebook, you're on as Brent Gaskins. And I believe Instagram, you're on as Brent Mora Gaskins.
Facebook, I have Brent Gaskins. On Facebook, I have Brent Gaskins. I have Brent Mora Gaskins, SAG-AFTRA-ACTA. And then I also have Amethyst on Fire Entertainment LLC. So I have 3 pages on Facebook, and I have 2 on Instagram.
Okay, well, there you have it, ladies and gents. I want to thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. And next week wraps up my Men March Mayhem series. And I'm so excited for all the gentlemen who've come and shared their stories with us. My name is Pachina Kirkendall. I will see you again next Sunday. Just remember, I love you, but God loves you more. Good night. Okay, Mr. Moore.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Let me stop this. Don't say anything yet. Hold on 1 second.